Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to worship at New Dublin. If you're here in person with us, we're glad you're here and ask that you take the friendship pad and put your name in it so that we have some sense of how many people are joining us. And then if your contact information has changed, please put that in there too. If you're joining us online, we're glad that you're here too. And I will remind you that you can find the bulletin on the Facebook page that was posted this morning. There are a number of announcements in your bulletin, and I would read them better if they weren't before. First, we want to welcome our General Visitor, Carl Utley, and his wife, Catherine, to worship with us this morning, to lead us in worship this morning. We're glad that you're here, both of you. I, on a personal note, just want to thank all of you, and especially the women of the church, and especially the circle, for the shower that you threw for Nathan and me and the baby yesterday, which was beautiful and wonderful and so much fun. And we really do thank you very, very much. The town church, just for your information and for your prayers, will be commissioning their new lay pastor this morning. Marianne Armbruster, I'm sure many of you know, will be commissioned as their lay pastor this morning. So please be praying for her and for her new ministry and for them as they embark on a new time of life. There's a Holy Week schedule in your bulletin. What there isn't in your bulletin is the reminder that that is next week. If it is crawled up on you the way it is crawled up on me. And I'm going to especially call your attention to the Maundy Thursday service, which is a potluck. And then will be followed by a brief service. So please bring your favorite food, and we'll do that on Thursday. We won't have a Good Friday service here. It will be a community service at Pulaski Lutheran. On Easter morning, we will take up the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. There's an insert about that in your bulletin. There is a bulletin board about it in the back over here, and that is hunger and development and disaster assistance. So just in communities that need extra help. And then finally, if you would like to have an Easter lily in honor or memory of someone, talk to Jim Cook about that. And then also just notice that it's a crowded morning. The worship order continues on the back where the staff listing usually is. So just when you get to the end of the bulletin, and we're not at the end of the service, turn the page. Is there anything else that needs to come to our attention this morning? And let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of the Almighty God.
Thank you.
When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoice.
May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy.
Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
O our God and our Father, we acknowledge this morning that you are higher than our highest thought, and that without your help, it is hard for us to worship you as we should. And so we pray that in your love and your kindness, you would draw our hearts and our minds and our souls up to you, that you would free us from any distractions that seek to drag us back down, and that with grateful hearts and clear minds, we would worship you in spirit and in truth. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hymn is number 446 in the blue hymnal.
But we repent of these offenses and are sorry for them.
Brothers and sisters, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So Isaiah 55:1-9. Hear the word of God. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know, that do not know you, shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever.
My soul, my soul. Grace to you and peace from God, our Creator, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. I am Carl Utley, the General Presbyter, and on behalf of the whole Presbytery family, I say, hey, y'all. It is just a pleasure to be here. And Sarah Jane and I have been in a couple of contexts together, retreat, and I said, let me come one Sunday before you have this baby. And she said, how about today? And I said, that works. So it's just a drop in. Our New Testament lesson is from the Gospel of Luke. It's chapter 13, or verses from chapter 13. What you should know about this text is, you know, the Gospels share many of the same stories, right? Not this one. It's peculiar, like really peculiar. There's been a murder of Galileans in the temple, and a tower has fallen on some believers, and Jesus gives commentary about these events. And we're accustomed to Jesus saying challenging things, nice things, but this is a really tough text. And the sermon will be too. I just want to give you the heads up, okay? So from Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, that they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No. But I tell you, unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." And then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I still find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. Let us pray. May the word of God be spoken. May the word of God be heard. And may the word of God be done. Amen. We'll start with Isaiah. He is a prophet, preacher, if you can imagine him standing before his congregation, and he's hopeful, kind of. "Ho, everyone who thirsts." Isaiah assumes that there is somebody in that congregation who wants to hear, who's thirsty. Not everyone in Israel wants to hear what Isaiah has to say, but he's calling out to those who do. And not everyone in Isaiah's congregation even recognizes their thirst, that spiritual signal that indicates to them that something is missing. But Isaiah preaches in the hopes that somebody, that God, will awaken it in somebody. And there are people in Isaiah's congregation who are aware of their hunger or their thirst, aware of their discomfort, but they have done all the wrong things and sought all the wrong solutions. He says, you spend all your time and your money on things that don't satisfy, because nothing other than God can satisfy that thirst. So Isaiah calls out to those who may want to hear, who are thirsty. Ho, you there, everyone who thirsts, come. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous forsake their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy upon them. Let them return to our God, for God will abundantly pardon. Are you thirsty? Repent. Are you hungry? Well, set aside everything that is a waste of time. Lay it aside and seek the Lord, because Isaiah says the Lord is near. In the 13th chapter of Luke, Jesus is preaching essentially the same sermon, not the same context, not the same words, but he's calling people to repent and to come. Only he doesn't begin as gently as Isaiah. I'm going to slightly paraphrase Jesus' sermon. Do you think it was bad for those Galileans who were slaughtered in the temple? Do you think it was dreadful for those people upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell? You think they were awful kind of sinners, don't you, for that to befall them? Well, let me tell you, unless you repent, you will perish in the same way. We're not accustomed to that kind of sermon coming out of the mouth of Jesus, right? Not from a Presbyterian preacher, for sure. And just in case we miss his point, he punctuates the teaching with the parable. And his parable, unfortunately, is too direct to misunderstand it. He sees a fruitless tree in the vineyard. 3 years, nothing, cut it down. And he says, why should it be wasting soil? Are you taking up space in the vineyard? He's asking. When can I expect you to bear fruit? God is investing the resources of heaven and earth in you. Jesus, I'm offering myself to you for the sake of God and the sake of God's kingdom. Is it all a waste? Jesus wants to know. It's nearly identical to the way that John the Baptist preached in the wilderness when people were coming to him for baptism. Bear fruit. Who warned you? Bear fruit that befits repentance. Show me the difference that the kingdom of God makes to you, John said. And Jesus added, do it now. Otherwise, you're taking up precious space, valuable resources. I know this text only occurs here in the scriptures, but it's not really an isolated theme. It's not like this is some strange teaching that's nowhere else in the Bible. There's a thorough connection in the scriptures, a vital connection between what we say and what we do. A deep and vital connection between what happens on Sunday morning and what happens Sunday at noon, and then on Monday and Tuesday and so on. There's a connection between everything we say and do here and what goes on at home and at work, at the club, in the restaurant, wherever it is that life takes you during the week. Jesus insists there's an urgency to it. Bear fruit, he says, or I will find someone who will. I don't want to take up space. Do you? I'd rather someone else get my place. I had a phone call this week. One of our candidates for ministry who is accepting a call to Charlottesville. And she said, Carl, I'm getting ordained and I'm coming for your job. She said it with affection, but she wasn't kidding. I'd rather someone else took our place than waste the resources of heaven and earth that have been invested in us. There's a phrase, I don't think people use it anymore. I'm certainly it is not used among women today. My daughters would recoil at the thought of me using it today. But it gets at something. It says something that at least men sometimes need to hear. So when a guy is shirking his responsibility, when a guy is complaining too much about his station in life, especially if he is regularly playing the victim card, like, woe is me, look what everybody's done to me. If he has a good friend, that good friend will take him out for coffee or something else, will come alongside of him and say, hey, man up, would you? Man up. It is to say, quit making excuses. Friend, quit complaining. Dude, find your strength. Man up. Own up to your responsibility. Do the right thing. We are so thoroughly loved by God. We know that, right? We will never not be loved by God. But Jesus is that friend who saddles up next to us and says, hey, step up. When we need to hear it, Jesus says, quit your excuses, quit your complaining. You've got purpose. You've got strength. I know I've given it to you. You've got me. So get it done. Otherwise, you're wasting space. And before we finish, we're going to attend to the last part of that parable, because it's where the good news is for the time being. The owner of the vineyard orders the gardener to cut it down. But the gardener makes a case to save it for one more year. Sir, he says, just let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, so well and good. And if not, well, then you can cut it down. What happens is the gardener talks the owner down a bit. And they get one more year. That's the time you and I are living in right now. That one year. Not the calendar year like we mark it, but one of God's years. Maybe it's 1,000 years, maybe it's 1,000 days, maybe it's, who knows? But it's God's time, and we're in that, the biblical word, just so you know, I know it, Sarah, it's eschatological time, right? You can clap. I'm kidding. We're living in that year so that we're being nurtured and pruned. Water trenches are being dug. The sweet but pungent smell of manure is being laid down. We are given a chance. We are being given a chance to change. It's a God-long year of grace. Are you thirsty, church? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord because the Lord is near. Show me the fruit of my labor, says Jesus. Otherwise, well, let's not wait for otherwise. Amen. Long, long ago, the church fought over precisely who Jesus was, what he had accomplished. So the church came together at the Council of Nicaea. This is what they said: let's stand and affirm our faith. The church professed its faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. And through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose and again, in accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our hymn is number 310 in the blue hymnal.
Thank you.
God, we give thanks with our morning offering. It's okay to come. Husband and wife?
Yes,
sir. Well, isn't that sweet? You are more generous than we can imagine or deserve. Accept this offering, we pray. May it be a reflection of the best of our lives. And Lord, may your Spirit come and increase it, that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you. Are you thirsty? Jesus said, I am the living water. Those who drink the water that I give will never be thirsty. It will become for them a spring, a gush of living water that springs up from eternal life. Friends, all are welcome to the table because it's the Lord's table. And all are welcome because all are loved by God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks because you are the source of life and goodness. You forgive past wrongs. You heal broken lives. You call us to do what is right, and you promise unending love. In this Lenten season, O God, we are particularly mindful of the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and also all the ways that we resist his will for our lives. God, thank you that he persists. He has revealed your love in his life, death, and resurrection, and he has promised to come again. Loving God, we are deeply grateful for this holy meal. Whenever we eat and drink together, we can be sure of Christ's presence with us. By your Spirit, O Lord, bind us to Jesus Christ. Bind us to one another. Bind us to all brothers and sisters in Christ, wherever and whoever they may be. These prayers we offer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night our Lord was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had blessed it and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, our Savior took a cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant. It is sealed in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it, all of you, remembering me." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on them by your hearts with faith and thanksgiving. Will those who are to serve please come? Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Jesus Christ, the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Let us pray together. God of mercy, we praise you that in love you have reached across the abyss of our sin and brought us into your embrace. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son on the cross, for the breaking of his body for our sakes, and for the spilling of his blood to seal us in the covenant of your love. By your Spirit, give us the grace of repentance and guide us in ways of righteousness. We pray these things through Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Amen. Our hymn is number 507.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to try to bring this home. It's been, Catherine will tell you, it's been one of the most difficult, probably the most difficult month I've had since beginning my work as the general presbyter. And I'll explain why. Last week, beginning on Sunday, our presbytery lost three pastors. Two resigned. One, it was a negotiated termination. That's two congregations involved. At the end of this month, two more will resign, with representing two churches. And sadly, all of these transitions are born out of some kind of conflict. And the issue is about expectations on one hand. Older Presbyterians, myself included, we have a set of expectations of our church and of our pastors. No offense. Younger pastors are taught differently. You looked, that questioning look, so I'm going to say, okay? It's all right. No. I'm glad she's listening. Now she's horrified. But it's about the pastor's role in your life and in a community. And younger pastors are taught that they're not there to meet your needs. They're there to serve the Lord. And so we rub up against each other. You know that COVID has been a, I don't even know what word to use, right? And a time of agitation. What it means to me, I wish, oh Lord knows how I wish that the time and energy that's been expended around things happening inside the church, oh, if that energy and time could have been used to focus on what's happening beyond the church, that we could have our things so, I don't know, put together, that we weren't focused on what we're getting or what we're not getting, what we can do, what we can't do, but on a world that is deeply in need of God's grace and love. So let's not take up space, okay? God has invested the resources of heaven and earth in you and in me. Jesus gave his entire self, life and death, everything he said, everything he did. He did that for you and for me. So, let's bear fruit, friends. Let's bear fruit and let's do it soon. Now, may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion and strength and power of the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you this day and forever. Amen.
May the Lord rise to meet you. May the rain blow.